Whether you've lived in Hong Kong for years or you're relatively new to the place, you may find some behaviours alien to your own standards. For example, is it okay to push onto the MTR when the sign clearly says wait for passengers to get off the train first? And what about eating on public transport or holding doors open for people? There's a whole host of things to get into here. But perhaps my guest, Bernice Lee, founder of the Etiquette and Leadership Institute, or ELI, can help us navigate through some of these situations. Thank you for coming along.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
And so, first of all, can you tell us a little bit about what ELI does?
Well, ELI is the Etiquette and Leadership Institute is fundamentally about training. I'm the master trainer, and I train children, youth, and adults in different forms of etiquette, whether it's mostly everyday etiquette or even business etiquette.
Okay, so there's a range there. And what's the response been? Do people come and ask you for it, or is it more like parents going, right, you need to learn some manners, and dragging their kids in?
Well, usually the people who come to me recognize that social skills are important for being effective in the workplace or being effective in everyday life. And so they have that belief. They also recognize that there might be a gap in their children's behavior or maybe a lack of confidence in themselves. And so they seek out training to bridge that gap.
I guess as well, because lots of young people go away for university and things like that in other countries. So perhaps they need that confidence to help them go over, and things won't be so strange for them.
Partially, yes. I mean, interestingly, you're referring to the teenagers. And for that age group, a lot of what I do is with what you would call local students who are in local secondary schools. And their need is more about becoming more internationally aware.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much about preparing to be diplomats or anything, but giving them confidence and being awareness.
Okay. And how long ago did you set the center up?
It was about 4 years ago.
And why? What inspired you to do it?
Well, at the time, I was a human resources manager working in corporate life. And in that role, I interviewed a lot of young people, some of whom were well-educated and had good work experience. But unfortunately, they lacked basic business etiquette, simple things like a firm handshake, good eye contact, etc. And as a result of those deficiencies, they would lose out on opportunities. There was really no way that I could pass that type of candidate on to hiring managers. And I wanted to play a role in helping young people to be more competitive and effective at work.
That's quite interesting, because I guess you don't really think about it in a business in a business environment. And what a shame that if you had a really strong candidate, but they just, like you say, they lacked some of those skills, that they were missing out on things.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what do we actually mean by etiquette then? We'll keep using the term etiquette. Can you define that for us?
Well, etiquette is generally defined as a set of rules that define social interactions, what interactions are acceptable or not acceptable. And therefore, it's very time-specific and very culturally specific as well.
And so can you give us a couple of examples of what decent etiquette might be?
Well, I think across all cultures, some sort of greeting when you meet someone for the first time, or even if it's not the first time, is generally seen as good manners. So it usually is saying something. For example, in English, it would be hello, how are you? And then accompanied by a handshake, mm-hmm. for example.
Okay. And how important then is it to follow the rules?
I think etiquette is, it is important to follow the rules depending on the social situation that one is in. And having that social agility is of utmost importance. So for example, if I were to show up to a dinner at the Four Seasons, I would know to behave in a certain way. Whereas if I was eating at a tan-tang with my friends, I would be more relaxed, and that would be okay as well.
And is your training just about actual behavior, or does it go into like clothing and things? Because like you were just saying, if you went to the Four Seasons, you would dress in a certain way.
Right. It depends on what the client needs. So in the case of personal grooming and dress, I might touch upon that if, let's say, the corporate client, in most cases, they see that as a need within their employees.
Mm.
But I think more importantly is not just the behaviors, but the importance of the values underlying etiquette, which is respect, consideration for others, and kindness.
And so we talk about the rules of good etiquette, but who makes the rules? Like, where's the standard?
That's a really interesting question. I mean, when we look historically, a lot of these rules, let's say from France, they came down from the royal courts and trickled down through broader society. And I think when it comes to etiquette, it does usually, when we think of those high manners, it comes from the upper class or the elites and then trickles down. But when it comes to everyday manners, it is commonly agreed upon by everyone mm-hmm. in the culture.
So then if you don't conform to these rules, does that automatically make you rude?
Possibly. Other people will consider you to be rude if you're not fitting in.
So how early should these rules be established then? I mean, you say that you work with young children through to business people. So is it important to start early?
I think it is very important to start early. Parents ask me this all the time. When it comes to formal etiquette, that is rules, then probably age 8. Is a good time to start with etiquette class mm-hmm. or even learning etiquette at home. But when it comes to manners and learning those basics of being kind to others, those can be learned as early as infancy or toddler years.
Mm.
You know, teaching children to say hello, wave their hand, smile, that sort of thing.
Even things like sharing toys and stuff.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. So do you think that once those rules have been sort of ingrained and taught, do people tend to keep them? Or do you feel that maybe they sort of get forgotten along the way as we get older?
I think it's less about losing one's manners over age as it is about the environment one finds oneself. So I do have friends who maybe went to etiquette school or finishing school when they were in their middle school years, but because they moved to a different country or because their work environment was very casual, they eschewed those etiquette rules.
Has there been much of a change in etiquette here in Hong Kong over the years? Or would you say that, you know, from when you were younger, maybe has there been much of a difference? Do you find that younger people need to be taught more now? I mean, when you're getting old, because you sort of say, gosh, when I was younger, I would never speak to somebody like that.
Right. Well, that's an interesting question because I did not grow up here. And I came here 10 years ago. I think in answering this question, context and comparison is very important. I just met an international speaker this weekend. He comes from North America, and he was blown away by how polite Hong Kong people were.
Okay.
Okay. And so that's something to consider. But when I asked the taxi drivers in the last couple of days, have they seen a change in manners in Hong Kong? They would say absolutely yes, that it has gotten worse over time. And so it really depends on who you ask.
Mm, that's interesting. Did they explain why they think why things have gotten worse?
Well, I think part of it is what they were saying was maybe lack of support or guidance from parents. And that also has deeper roots, right? It could be because parents are working and maybe they have less time to be with their children. Or it could just be that Hong Kong is a very stressful place for a lot of people. And when one is just worried about getting through one's day and surviving that day, maybe one wouldn't be as happy to be considerate of other people.
That's an interesting point because, you know, people do work quite long hours here and it can be quite a stressful environment to live in. It's busy. Like I say, you work long hours. Even if you're at school, you tend to study for long hours. So you're not always going to be in a great mood.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the things that I really wanted to talk to you about was the difference in cultures, because Hong Kong is very multicultural, and with the traditional British influence here. I mean, as a Brit myself, I sometimes get really frustrated in situations here where I think, well, why would you do that? But what are the differences between cultures? I mean, for example, one thing I've noticed is that people don't seem to hold doors open for people here.
Yes, I noticed that also.
And that really frustrates me when I've got my hands full of shopping bags and I can't open the door.
Right.
And someone just sort of walks through and sort of slams it in my face.
Right, right. You know, I've struggled with this question because sometimes I feel like it is cultural that maybe holding out a door for somebody in such a busy city is not anybody's priority, because if somebody were to do that, they would never get through the door. I have experienced that myself. And when it comes to cultural differences, as you had said, there are so many. I mean, even saying hello, I remember there was one time I was teaching a room full of human resources managers, and I encouraged them to show that they have a nice firm handshake, and they almost all of them had said, but Bernice, we don't want to touch anybody's hand because of SARS.
Right,
and so it makes a lot of sense, but then without having that context, you wouldn't realize oh, they're not trying to be rude, they just don't want to get a fatal disease.
That's interesting. Well, I did a bit of a straw poll upstairs in the office here at Radio 3. And here are some situations which some of us find a bit frustrating. So could you maybe point us in the right direction of what you would recommend us to do in these situations? So people pushing onto the MTR before waiting for people to get off the train.
Oh, yes, that happens to me. That happened to me the other day, actually, by a very small Chinese woman. You know, for me personally, I just step aside and I let it go and go on to the train as I would
when
at my own pace.
Mm.
Yeah, of course, if I was in a rush, I do feel annoyed. But in order to make sure that our society, our community is peaceful, you know, I have to kind of exercise some self-control and just have a more generous heart.
What about one of the ladies mentioned people who wear big backpacks? A lot of them seem to be about public transport, I must admit. But wearing a big backpack that sometimes is heavy and you're on a crowded train or something, and the person's moving around and hitting people with the bag.
Right.
When should they take it off? I mean, would that be the polite
thing? I would encourage
them
to take it off and put it in between their feet.
And is it okay then to be the person that says, would you mind taking it off and just putting it down by your feet for, you know, 10 minutes while you're on the train?
That's a good question. I would say, could you excuse me? I'm being bumped a little bit, and then see what happens. And then, of course, if they were saying, no, I don't want to do that, then I would probably back off and try to find some more space somewhere else on the subway.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about eating on public transport or eating, you know, just in public generally? What are the rules on that here?
Well, eating on public transport, I haven't seen that in a while, to be honest. Is that something you've seen recently?
Somebody in the office said that they had.
Well, of course, you would be fined if somebody found out. I know that it doesn't bother some locals. However, I think just out of common courtesy, not everybody wants to smell the curry brisket that somebody wants to have for lunch. And so I would encourage that person to abstain, honestly. But would I go up to them and say, oh my goodness, that's very stinky? I wouldn't necessarily say anything either.
Okay. And we've already talked about opening doors for people, so skip over that one. Have you seen an increase in people sort of coming to you for classes over the last few years? Do you think that people are more mindful about having manners?
There has been an increase, and I was pleasantly surprised that some corporations have approached me as well, because they see a need in some of their younger associates.
Mm. And we have talked a lot about social situations so far, but what about business? Is it very important for people in business to know what to expect and how to behave?
I think it is important in certain aspects. The first is for certain corporations, it is of utmost importance that their employees reflect the brand of the company and the image that the company wants to project to their potential customers, clients, and the public. And in those situations, yes, absolutely, it's very important that the company takes steps to develop training and nurture a culture where good manners is, if not rewarded, it's just a part of way of life in that organization. The second instance is when people are doing business internationally or even regionally, because in this region, of course, there are many, many different cultures. In order for business relations to be smooth, for there to be a common understanding, to build trust between parties that will be doing business together, I think it's important to try to understand the other culture and respect it. Maybe not necessarily adopt it 100% because it's very difficult to be fully bicultural, but to show that you've tried to make, to understand.
It's all really interesting. I've really enjoyed talking to you. But just before you go, can I be cheeky and ask, what are the things that you see that annoy or offend you the most in day-to-day life?
Oh, goodness gracious.
You're probably too polite to answer.
Well, you know, I am a human being. I'd say what does annoy me the most is, off the top of my head, the shoving in the MTR. Sometimes there are personal grooming that is done on the MTR or the bus. I would rather not see. And I won't go into any more detail on that.
Yes, it's a good place to stop, I think. Bernice, it has been really interesting talking to you. Thank you so much for coming in and explaining a little bit more about manners and etiquette. Bernice Lee is the founder of Etiquette and Leadership Institute. They do have a website if you would like to find out more. The news is on the way in just a moment.